I know this Bible looks funny, but it's called a Modern Language Bible. It's a new one from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I loved how it read this morning for what we're going to be reading. Anyway, we are continuing on with God, all things are possible. Say it with me. With God, all things are possible. And you're probably looking at this fish with the coin in the mouth and going, I remember that story. We're going to look at it today. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew 17, 24 through 27. After their arrival at Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel came and asked Peter, does not your teacher pay the half shekel? Yes, he replied, and then he went into the house. Before he spoke a word, say that. Before he spoke a word, Jesus said, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the world's kings receive customs or capitation tax? That's a poll tax. From their own children or from others? From others, he replied. Then the children go free, Jesus said. However, lest we offend them, go throw a hook into the lake and the first fish that comes up. Take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you will find a shekel in it. Bring that coin and give it to them for yourself and for me. I love this story. There's so many different things that we can see in here, but we're talking about with God, all things are possible. And a lot of times we look at the fact that, yes, there was a coin in a fish's mouth, right? Is that impossible? Not necessarily. I have heard that they have found other money in fish's mouths or in their bodies. But to go out and pick up the first fish, and the first fish has the coin in its mouth. Okay, so a lot of times I've told you before, we read these Bible stories, and we go, oh yeah, okay, right. I've caught a lot of fish in my life, and I have never opened a mouth and found a coin. Amen? But we're going to look at something here today, something we've been noticing as we've been doing this series. We know that from Scripture and from the teachings that we've done in the past, that Jesus' ministry was fully financed. So here's something to think about. Did he need a shekel? No, they had a shekel. They had more than a shekel in the purse, right? That's why they had someone that was in charge of the purse. You don't put someone in charge of a purse when there's two things in it, right? Normally it's because it's a larger purse. So they didn't need this, but there was something that Jesus wanted to teach Peter and he wanted to teach us. Now the first thing we need to notice here is when the tax collectors came, Peter didn't freak out and go, oh my, what? How am I going to do this, right? He didn't do that. What did he do? He went to Jesus. When you have something that comes up as a surprise, maybe you weren't planning on it, you weren't expecting it, don't freak out. If someone says to you, hey, you owe this. Yeah, does your God know that? That you're going to owe this? Have you ever had people that do that to you before? They kind of mimic God and his ability to provide for you. That's what they were doing to Peter about Jesus. Does your master pay his? Do you see what's going on here? There was a mimic. There was a maybe saying your God isn't big enough. Your master isn't great enough, right? But we look at this part of the scripture, and Peter doesn't continue the conversation with them. He turned, and who did he go to? Jesus. When we are in these circumstances and situations, don't panic, don't freak out, don't let what the people around you are saying come to you and affect you. Go to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has the answer. Amen? Now, what did he tell Peter? He told Peter this. He went through the whole discussion about whether they should pay or not, but he says, we don't want to offend them, so go to the lake, throw out a hook, and bring up the first fish that comes. Why is this important? Because every story we've been looking at, there was an action that the person on the other side had to do. It's called an act of what? Faith. That's our part. Our part is to have faith. And sometimes God will give you instructions, and you'll go, what? That doesn't make any sense at all. Go to find a fish and open its mouth. Hello, you're talking to Peter. He was a fisherman by trade. How many fish's mouths do you think he looked into? Thousands, probably, right? And you can imagine the thoughts that Peter had on his way to the lake. Okay, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Yep, I believe you. whoo, I'm going down to fish, and I'm going to find a coin in the fish's mouth. I believe you, Jesus. I believe you. I believe he was, Peter was the kind of guy that talked to himself. I just know he was. Just the kind of things that you see in Scripture about him. So he's probably on his way fighting thoughts from the enemy about how ridiculous this was. But he went because Jesus said so. And when the Lord says so and you do it, then there is a blessing that happens to you. Your faith is rewarded. Amen? And there's another thing we need to look at here. Can you imagine being those people that were there to collect the taxes? They'd already made fun of Jesus. They already made fun of Peter. And Peter goes back out of the house and goes, dudes, just hang here. I'm going down to the fish, and I'll catch one that has a coin in its mouth, and I'll be right back to pay you. They're probably like, this guy's an idiot. What is he thinking? Right? That does not happen. But can you imagine when Peter walks up and opens the fish's mouth and goes, oh, here you go. Like a change purse, right? But it's a fish, for goodness gracious. That was an impact that it left on those men as well. Because a lot of times the miracle isn't just about you. It's about someone else around you hearing about that is impossible. That cannot happen. But with God. Hallelujah. But with God. Amen. So you see, this is such a powerful revelation to us today. We don't freak out. We go to Jesus. And then, yes, he's probably going to ask you to do something on your part. And if you will do what he asks you to do on your part, what will happen? You will have your miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen? God is so faithful. Grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, we just thank you so much for this amazing word today. With God, all things are possible. And we know today, Father, that as we seek you first, whatever's going on in our lives, Lord, you will provide the answer. And sometimes it might feel crazy. It might be like the craziest thing you thought of to be the answer. But God, if we will act on that and we will do it, Father, you will be faithful. And we praise you, Lord, today for blessing every seed that is sown. Bless the sower, hundredfold harvest. And we praise you in advance for those amazing miracles that you are doing. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
So let's pray over today's message, though. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're continuing a message this month entitled, Go and Tell. Somebody say, go and tell. And when I was little, one of the things I would look forward to every week, I think it was pretty much on Fridays, as I recall, is like kindergarten and first grade, maybe second grade, show and tell. Right? And I would bring something, a hamster or a stick or a toy or some story that I thought was really important. And I would stand up there and tell everyone, right? And look what God has me doing. No. But how many know when Jesus, and you know, from last week, I had a few takeaways from last week's message that I kind of made some notes on. And Shelley talked about life being like a treasure hunt. And the people are the treasure. Somebody say, I am a treasure, right? And we're treasure hunters in the body of Christ. Looking for people that Jesus came to save and telling them. But a few of the things that are important to remember before you can tell is you got to have something to tell, right? The people that are effective in telling others are people that, number one, have had an experience with Jesus Christ themselves, right? Jesus changed me, and I just can't hold it in. That's the other day when I was at that courthouse, I just felt this, I got to say something. I cannot be silent. I see what the devil's trying to do. Right? And it just comes in like you, I got to say something. Now, how many know there's some people out there that just, they have to cuss. Or they have to gossip. Or they have to get another drag of the weed. And that's the stuff that the devil puts on people to kill them. But when you have an experience with Jesus Christ, and you give your life to him, and he becomes real to you. Now the cross reminds you, tell somebody, I can't help. And that's why the devil wants to shut the church up. He doesn't care if you're saved. Just shut up about it. Just don't tell anyone else. Well, how many know we are here to say, go and tell? Right? And then another thing that jumped out at me was that there was cooperation with the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, where Jesus might put a certain person on your heart to tell, to share your faith with, right? And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and working with Him. Giving of your finances and your time to serve and help other ministries that are out there traveling and telling people about Jesus, that's going and telling, right? Amen. And just being sensitive. Also, the constant contact with the body of Christ. Right? We're not out there like the Lone Ranger doing whatever we want. We're staying in contact with our brothers and sisters. We have a love for the body of Christ. Not a, well, everyone else is doing it wrong but me attitude. Right? Somebody say, go and tell. Hallelujah. But today I want to focus in on a couple of specific things. And we're going to talk about sharing Jesus with the next generation. That's important. Amen. How many know the devil would like to steal an entire generation? Have you noticed he's after children? I mean, how sick do you have to, and demented do you have to be to take a little child and lie to them? And tell them you may not be a girl trapped in a boy's body, for example. Or you know what? Your skin is light. That means that there's something wrong with you because you have light-colored skin or whatever. You know what I'm saying? To lie to a child. How many know we need to go and tell the next generation that Jesus created them exactly how they are? Right? If you're a boy, he created you to be a boy and grow up to be a man. If you're a girl, he created you to grow up to be a woman, right? If you're whatever nationality you are, doesn't matter. He loves you and he's going to use you exactly how you are. Glory. I mean, there's such liberation in that. Hallelujah, right? So we need to be telling the next generation, and that includes our own children, grandchildren, right? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 has been our foundation text for this, and it says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world. Somebody say all the world. How many know all the world starts at home? What good is it for me to travel some place or just put all my emphasis in sharing the gospel with strangers and forget about my own family? Right? Amen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel means good message, good news. Somebody say good news. See, Jesus is good news. He's bad news for the devil, but he's good news for anybody that puts their faith in him, right? It means evangelize, declare, to bring glad tidings. Somebody say something. Say something. Bring him into conversations. Bring him up. Talk about him. It's show and tell. A lot of people are just so bent on being negative and dark and dreary and hopeless. And it's easy to just go with the flow, because we don't want to offend them or rock the boat or whatever. But how many know sometimes you just need to turn the light on? And it can just be one simple word. Yeah, I know, I know. I've experienced depression too. But guess what? I met Jesus Christ, and he's helping me every day to overcome that depression, to overcome sorrow, to overcome addictions. Jesus is helping me. Yeah, I've heard all that, but, and they go on down the road. Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of people dealing with that. But let me tell you, there's a Jesus that if you just welcome him into your heart, and give your life to him, he will help you with that. He will help you overcome that. He will bring you out of that. Glory to God. Amen, right? Well, I want to talk for a few minutes about Passover, because Passover, and this is Palm Sunday, but Passover began last night at sundown. And I'll tell you what, Passover, all these biblical holidays are significant times in the world, right? And there's a message on our YouTube channel called God's Calendar. You should check it out and listen to it, because it goes through each one. There's seven, somebody say seven. There's seven feasts that the Bible talks about specifically, three in the spring. Actually, it starts with just Sabbath. Every Sabbath day is a reminder. How many days are in a week? Seven, right? Seven is a number of completion. So literally, the Bible talks about to God, this is just a brief review here, but to God, a day is as 1,000 years to God. So since Adam, since the Garden of Eden, we have just almost, we're just at the crux, just a few years away from entering the seventh millennium. It's been about toward the end of 6,000 years. So it's going to start the seventh day very soon. That indicates the rapture. That indicates the reign of Jesus Christ on the planet. Somebody say seven. So every week is a reminder that he's coming back. But see, the body of Christ, by and large, has forgotten these things or just isn't aware of it. So they just think, oh yeah, it's just Sunday again, just Saturday again, just Tuesday again. No, in the Jewish mindset, every single day is we're going toward the Sabbath, going toward the 3 days from the Sabbath, 2 days from the Sabbath, 4 days from the Sabbath. Somebody say, keep your eye on the Sabbath, on Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath rest, and he's coming back. Right? But in the spring, there's Passover, which we are in now, unleavened bread, say unleavened bread, right? And if they'll eat matzah, which is a flat bread that has no, what's the word? Yeast. Yeah, thank you. No yeast in it. And it's striped and it's pierced, which reminds you of Jesus. By his stripes, we were healed and his body was pierced. So to forgive us of our sins, right? So Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, say Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit came. It's harvest. And all of these feasts have been fulfilled in Jesus. He is our Passover lamb, right? He paid for our sins. He was striped and pierced. And he sent the Holy Ghost. Now in the fall, somebody say in the fall, there's three more feasts. Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. Those things prophetically have not happened yet, but are about to. Somebody say, any moment. Feast of Trumpets. What's that remind you of? The trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and there will be a holy convocation in the sky of the body of Christ going to heaven to be with Jesus for 7 years later. Somebody say, 7 years later, from that moment, we come back with him to reign and rule on the earth for that seventh millennium. I mean, this is all, I'm not making this up. This isn't Steve fairy tale time, right? Somebody say seven, seven. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is at the end of that seventh day, right? When the holy city comes out of heaven and lands on Jerusalem. I mean, these are remarkable things, amazing and remarkable things. But the key is, keep your eye on Jesus every day. Somebody say 7 days a week, every day, because he's coming. It could be today. And be ready to tell someone. Well, this Wednesday, it'll be April 16th, 2025, if you're hearing this message later, because these are recorded and posted. But Eagle Mountain International Church, emic.org, Pastor Terry Pearson's, is going to share a message called, she's titled something like The Seven Places Jesus Shed His Blood. This is how exact our God is. Jesus shed his blood seven times. Somebody say completion. The Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat great drops of blood, when they arrested him and beat him, he got bruises, bleeding on the inside. When they jammed the crown of thorns into his skull, three, right? His back, when they, by his stripes you are healed. His hands, his feet, his side. Somebody say seven. Isn't this amazing? And these are good things for the body of Christ to know about and to realize and to recognize. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he did it for me. He did it all for me. What a complete Savior that we have. But in Exodus chapter 12, if you want to turn over there, bring your Bible to church. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12. But if you didn't, we are recording this, so you can listen again later or take notes. Hallelujah. But in verses 1 through 27, this is when the children of Israel, this is the first Passover, when the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, by the supernatural power of God, signs and wonders, miracles. And this is kind of the emphasis here today is, you know, we can choose either to, you know, have a life of deliverance or a life of doom. Right? Choose Jesus, deliverance. Reject Jesus, doom. Why? Because he's life. If you reject him, we reject life. Amen? But here's where it begins. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation. Somebody say to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man, say every man, right, shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father. Somebody say according to the house of his father. See, this is about families, right? And a lamb for a household. Say household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall take your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Say without blemish, right? Why are we emphasizing these things? Because this lamb is symbolic of Jesus Christ coming. In your notes there, John chapter 1, verse 29, John comes out preaching Jesus, right? Years and years and years later, and he says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God, right? Who takes away the sin of the world. So this Passover lamb is a type of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation, somebody say this is for everyone, right, of Israel, shall kill it. Say kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood, say the blood, and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. See, the blood of Jesus is still available for you to use as a spiritual substance. We should take that blood regularly and apply it to our house, apply it, you know, over your vehicles, apply it over your business, apply it over people's pictures, right? Just say, in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over my family. I claim them for Jesus Christ, right? Because, you know, a lot of times in thinking about telling people about Jesus, we first, in many cases, need to tell the devil. Go and tell the devil that's controlling them first. Devil, I take back. In the name of, that's another thing that T should remind you of, is take it back. I take back my kids. I take back my family. I take back my nation. In the name, and I apply the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of my house and my family. And I take it all back for the Lord Jesus Christ. I take them. Somebody say, take them. In prayer. Hallelujah, right? Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread. Say unleavened bread. The yeast in this case, taking yeast out of the bread during the 7 days, somebody say 7 days of unleavened bread. It's a 7 day event. What's that remind us of? Somebody say completion. 7,000, it's all removing sin. The leaven in this case represents sin, curse, death, sorrow, evil, right? So literally extracting sin from the planet is going to take 7,000 years, God said. There's going to come a day on this planet where sin is completely eradicated forever, not allowed ever. And the city of God will come down out of heaven, and I believe, you know, it says it's going to come down on Jerusalem. I believe Jerusalem will be the capital of heaven. Heaven is literally, some people will say, is this planet heaven? No. Oh, certainly not. Just turn the news on, right? But heaven is taking over. Heaven is expanding, and it is going to, like a tidal wave, literally take this planet with it. And I believe Jerusalem will be the capital of heaven. That's why the devil hates Israel. We got these stickers, right? Because we have a ministry in Israel that we support. Jewish people that love Jesus that minister to other Jewish people in Israel. They minister to the IDF, and it's just amazing, right? Blessed are they who blessed you, and cursed are they who cursed you, the Bible says, about in regards to Israel, right? Hallelujah. Let's move down to verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Somebody say, be ready to go. Be ready to go. That was the point, is they've been in bondage for 200 years, living in Egypt for 400, but specifically in slavery for 200 years. And now God says, it's time to go. Somebody say, go. That's why you can tell the devil, go, get out of my house. I strike the blood over my household. You can anoint people's, if they live in your house, you can anoint pillows. You can anoint over the doorposts of their bedroom. You can anoint their smart devices if they're not being smart with them. I'm telling you, right? The blood of Jesus works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So with the belt on your feet, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So where did the word Passover come from? Well, we're going to hear that here, right? For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike. Somebody say strike. So let me tell you this. If you strike the blood over your household, God will strike your enemies. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about devils. We want the people to be saved. But how many know if someone refuses to repent and they're causing you harm, then they're going with him. Hallelujah, right? For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign. Somebody say a sign. For you on the houses, say the houses. Your house, your home, your family, even if they live in other nations, even if you don't know if they're alive. Somebody say, apply the blood. Tell the devil, hands off. You're going and telling. And then God will send somebody that they will hear from to go tell them. We're talking about the supernatural power of God here, church. Not talking about you and I having to figure it all out. We're talking about a much higher authority. But this is the legal right that you have if you're a born-again Christian, right? Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. Say Passover. Pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. You can read the rest of that chapter on your own, but we need to move on. But how many know in this story, there were Egyptians that knew what was about to happen, and guess where they were this night? In the houses of God's people. and they went with them when they left. Right? And the evil people that rejected God, hated God, were bringing harm to God's people, they had a terrible thing happen that night because they rejected God. Amen. Right? So there's a clear distinction. That's what we're wanting to get at, is there's a clear distinction between God's people and people who are not God's people. It doesn't mean God's this big ogre. No, it just means he loves his people. He's good. He's just. And you should do some studying on what they were doing to God's people. Talk about trafficking and abuse and murdering children and just crazy, nasty, awful stuff. And God wouldn't have it. He was done with it. And praise God for a man like Moses. Raised in Pharaoh's house with all the riches and the luxury and the sin offered to him and all of this stuff. And yet he knew, I am a Hebrew. What they're doing to my people, he identified, somebody say identified, not with the sin, but with God's family. And it changed him. In fact, to the point where he was willing to walk away from everything. Glory to God. And the Lord brought him back to be a deliverer for his people. He spoke on behalf of God's family, on behalf of his own people. And that's what God's looking for today, is people who are willing to tell the devil, hands off, and be a voice to our own people. Hallelujah. And not care about our reputations or what we might lose or what it might cost us. How many know Jesus? It costed him everything that day. He laid his life down, but he took it back up again by the power of God. Glory. That's what next week is all about, right? The resurrection came. And when he came out of that tomb, he was Jesus, but he wasn't Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's the same guy, but that's a different guy. Right? No more blood in his body. The power of God flowing. He could walk through walls. He could appear and disappear. Right? And yet he ate and he could fellowship and you could see him. He had a heavenly, glorified body, which you all will too. He is the firstborn, the Bible says, among many brethren. So when you die, not if, when, unless the rapture comes first, they'll put you in the ground, in an urn or in a casket or whatever. Some people ask me, "What, Pastor Steve, this is a good point to bring up. If someone gets cremated, how does that work? In the resurrection, like, does that disqualify them from ever? I mean, how do you put that back together? I've had it before. It's like a bag of sand. Well, how many know we were created from dirt? God literally scooped up dirt and created the first man. How many know God can put it back together again? That's how big this God is. They might scatter ashes in this ocean over here in this place and scatter some ashes over there. And the other bottle portion is in Aunt so-and-so's on her mantle. We know this, right? And yet, when the trumpet sounds, somebody say, when? Every one of those molecules is going to come back together again and be rejoined to the person's spirit in the sky. See, the spirit man is still alive. The spirit man is with God in heaven. We know this. People see each other and recognize one another in heaven because their spiritual body, that's who you are. You are a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. So when your body is rejoined to your spirit, it will be the same body, just a lot better looking, a lot healthier, right? And it will last forever. Forever and ever and ever. And the same thing when a sinner meaning someone who rejected Jesus Christ. How many know we have all sinned? So we could say every one of us, and me included, Mother Teresa included, Billy Graham included, sinners. Jesus' own mother, sinner. Right? Because we're born on this planet Nobody has ever lived a sinless life except for Jesus, right? But by the power of that blood, it severs the power of sin over our life, and now we don't call ourselves a sinner anymore. We're a saint of God, son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. But people who reject him, I'm talking about them right now, there's another resurrection coming for them. At the end of the seventh millennium, right before that city comes out of into Jerusalem, there will be another resurrection for the people that are still in the ground that rejected him. And that's called Judgment Day. And their bodies will be rejoined to their spirits, which have been held incarceration in hell. And there will be judgment on them, and they will be completely and forever cast into hell with the devil. Serious business, man. Serious business. Well, how could a God of love? He didn't. A God of love forgave you of your sins on the cross that day. But if we reject it, if we reject him, then you have rejected eternal life. And by default, hell is the reward for that. This is why it's important that we go and tell. Go and tell. Hallelujah. Amen and amen forevermore. This is the truth of the Bible. Right? Amen. Well, look at Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus. Pastor Steve, you're speaking from Leviticus? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Somebody say seven times. And this particular passage, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, by the way, it's toward the beginning. This particular passage has to do with, there are a number of examples in the Old Testament where the priest would sprinkle the blood seven times. And this is one of them. In this case, it was a case that God said if a plague, somebody say a plague, would come upon a house, a household. I'm just going to read you a portion of this, verses 49 through 53. And he shall take to cleanse the house, we're talking about the priest, right? So there's a plague in the house, in the family, and, you know. He shall take to cleanse the house. Somebody say, cleanse the house. God wants to cleanse the whole house. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Somebody say two birds, right? So in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals and used their blood as a symbolic thing of cleansing sin or bringing peace or whatever, right? How many of false religions are into human sacrifice? Ugly stuff. That's what abortion is. Abortion is human sacrifice. And it's evil. And someone can repent of it once they're aware of it and just say, you know what, God, I apologize for ever voting that way or whatever, and just say, you know what, I receive my forgiveness. Right? Amen. But listen to this. This is, again, an example of the God of love. We don't use humans' blood until Jesus came. This was all symbolism, again, of the blood of the Lamb of God that would do a once and for all work. Hallelujah for that, right? But it says this. It takes the two birds, two pigeons. Man, there's plenty of pigeons across the river, huh, Randy? You might see them around town, right? And they're like, look, a whole flock of pigeons just hanging, walking around me, you know? Well, you shall take one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop, kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood. Somebody say, dip them in the blood of the slain bird in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. Say seven times. Completion. How many know God wants you to be completely free? Completely healed, completely delivered, completely saved. You know, the subject matter in our Bible studies and gatherings shouldn't be this question. Tell me, small group leader or pastor or whoever, how close can I get to sin until it's really a sin? Right? No. That's not the right question. The right question is, how can I get even freer from this thing that's trying to come on me? How can I get closer to Jesus? Not how can I still be a Christian and yet smoke a little weed? How far can I go on a date? You know what I'm saying, right? Somebody say, Jesus, do it His way. His way is the best way. Hallelujah. In relationships between male and female, that means nothing till marriage. Until you said, I do. And there's a ring on her finger and a ring in his nose. Mine. Somebody say, mine. Amen. Oh, Pastor Steve, what about having a beer? Is it a sin to have? Why would you even ask that? Just look at what beer advertises. Look at what alcohol promotes itself as. It calls itself spirits. It's got this thing called a sin tax. It kills people on the highways. Oh, Pastor Steve. But it's legal, Pastor Steve. Smoking a joint, it's legal. But it makes you a dope. And it's called pot. And it's a gateway drug. Right? So our question ought not be, how close can I get to sin? No. Get close. Somebody say, get closer to Jesus. Get closer to Him. Be more in love. More and more in love. In love and love and love. In love with Jesus. Somebody say, I'm in love with Jesus. I choose Jesus. And if I miss it somewhere, I come running back to Him. Jesus, I blew it. I admit it, I blew it. I received my forgiveness and my cleansing of all unrighteousness. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you for the blood, Lord. And you just have an ongoing, open, even if you feel like the bottom, the belly of a snake, so low. No, you come running to Jesus because that's what He's there for. He's the high priest. He's your Savior. He's your forgiveness. He's your healer. You come running to Jesus, run to Him, and stay with Him. Somebody say, stay with Him, right? Here we go. So take them, dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall cleanse the house. Somebody say the whole house. The blood cleanses the whole house, right? With the blood of the bird and the running water and the living bird with the cedar wood, the hyssop and the scarlet. There's all kinds of meaning in there too, right? Then he shall let the living bird loose. Somebody say, loose him. Loose him, devil, and let him go. Outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Hallelujah forevermore. Now, we don't need to understand how the blood works. We just need to apply it. I don't understand how soap works, but I use it regularly. Or toothpaste, but I use it. Somebody say, use it. Glory to God. Amen. And be applying it. Be preaching it. Be telling people about the power of Jesus in your life, right? Amen. Look at, we're going to close here in a moment, but I want to, let me see here. Where am I at? The cleansing power of the blood. Yeah. I need to step it up here. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Glory, 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 glory. Verses 11 through 15. But Christ has come as high priest of the good things. Somebody say good things. So many people think Jesus is keeping you from the good things. That's a lie of the devil. No, he has the good things. He is the good thing, right? Jesus came as high priest of the good things to come, which the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, out of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Somebody say, with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and we just read about birds, right? And the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more, somebody say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Somebody say, I can do this. Some would say, I can't. I just can't be a Christian. It's impossible. I can't do it. You're right. But with his blood, with your faith in him, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, somebody say, I can and I will. I can and I will love and serve Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Well, finally, look at Joshua chapter 4. We're going to talk about our choices and our voices. How many know your choice is a voice? That's why voting is so important, because when you vote, you're using your voice. Make a choice, use your voice. And we're talking specifically about voting for Jesus here. And Joshua is another type of Christ. In fact, his name means Yeshua, Jesus. And Joshua is another person that God used to bring great deliverance to his people in tough times, right? But Joshua chapter 4, we're going to look at a couple places, and we're talking about this in this particular portion here in the next few minutes. We're going to talk about a heap of stones. Somebody say, a heap of stones. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, in this time period, a heap of stones meant something, right? And look at this. This is right before they came to the city of Jericho to take it under the direction of the Lord, right? But they had to cross a river called the Jordan River, and they didn't have a boat, right? So God had to supernaturally part the Jordan River like he did the Red Sea for his people to cross over on dry. And it was a miracle. Somebody say, a miracle. They crossed over. And when you come to Jesus, when you come to the cross, you're literally crossing over from death to life. And it's a miracle. And you should never forget it. Somebody say, never forget that. You should have a testimony. The T also reminds you of testimony. You should have a story, a testimony of how Jesus came in and how he changed you, and you should be able to tell somebody on the spot what happened in your life and when it happened. If you can't do that, then today's your day. Today's your day. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender it all. I cross over from death to life, from sin to righteousness, in the name and by the blood of Jesus, now, and today is your day. And you'll always have that, right? But look at this. It came to pass when all the people, somebody say all the people, had completely crossed over the Jordan. Again, the water split down the middle. Supernatural miracle, power of God, right? The Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe. Command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones. Somebody say 12 stones. From here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder. On his shoulder. So probably a big stone, not a little skipping. I like to skip rocks. We're not talking about that. Right? According to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign. Somebody say a sign among you when your children ask. In time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? How many know our children need to know, what does this mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Because sometimes they hear us saying it, but they don't see us living it. So it's like we're saying it means nothing to me. And then we're surprised when they go out and do some crazy stuff. Somebody say, this book means something to me. I live it. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I choose him. Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over to the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and all these stones shall be for a memorial. Somebody say a memorial. To the children of Israel forever. Say forever. So your faith and what Jesus has done in your life is like that heap of stones. And your children, your grandchildren, people that are close to you might ask, why in the world are you so different? Why are you so weird? And you can say, no, actually, you're weird. I'm going to heaven. I chose Jesus Christ. Wait, this thing you're talking about, that's my faith in God. That's when I crossed over from death to life. And guess what? You can too. As long as you're still breathing. Some people think you can wait till after you die to decide. That's a lie from the pit of hell. After you die, somebody say, too late. You've made your decision. I had a friend of mine that was a lawyer tell me this. We're having a coffee and we're talking about business and things, and he wanted to know about our faith. They always find out, right? This comes out. He's like, well, I just figure we'll know. We'll know eventually if it's true. And I'm like, brother, that'll be too late. It'll be too late. Somebody say, don't wait till it's too late. And be ready to tell someone, this is what these stones mean. Well, look at one more guy, chapter 7. I know we're pushing it here. Chapter 7, verses 19 through 26. This is the story of Achan. You might remember this story. The same people, Achan and his family crossed the Jordan River together. They saw God do a miracle and take the city of Jericho. But they were commanded, when they took the city, you don't touch any of the cursed things in the city. We're going to burn it with fire. Well, Achan stole some of the things from this city, a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and some silver, and buried it under his tent. And the next fight that Israel had, they lost. And it should have been, even in the natural, it should have been an easy fight. But like 40 Israelites died. And Joshua just went before God, what in the world? And God said, get up on your feet. Somebody has brought a curse in the whole camp. And it affected everyone. It affected everybody. How many know your decisions, my choices, and my voice can affect someone else for good or evil? Now, they don't have to by the power of the blood, but it can. Someone else might be following you. So some people would say, it doesn't matter what I do. It just affects me. That is not the truth. If you're following Satan, someone else might be following you while you're following him. And what a travesty, right? But look at verses 19 through 26, chapter 7. One more page over for me. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, this is family, right? Give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. What did we just talk about in the Ten Commandments, right? He coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Now, this is not a poverty thing where God doesn't want you to have nice things and money and abundance. No, no, no. This was cursed stuff. We just heard Jesus has better things, right? So Joshua sent messengers and ran to the tent. Praise God he didn't just, some of these old Westerns, hang him. right? No, we have to prove this, right? So he sent messengers. They ran to the tent where there it was, hidden in the tent with the silver under it. They took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters. Yikes, man, right? It affected other people, right? His oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, then they raised over him a great heap of stones. Somebody say, a heap of stones. Right? So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place has been called Valley of Achor to this day. Now, praise God for the blood of Jesus, that this kind of stuff, this isn't the way things are run nowadays. The blood of Jesus, right? But it is a great illustration that my choices can bring death and curse, and now that becomes the memorial. Where someone thinks of me and just thinks, oh man, I do not want to be like that. So we can choose. Somebody say, I choose Jesus. I choose him now. Right? I choose to put my faith in him. I'm not going to steal and covet things and go and even just a little bit of the curse. I just want a little bit of the curse in my tent. I don't want to be that kind of memorial. Or bring that kind of thing into my tent, into my house. Because it can affect other people too. Hallelujah. I mean, this is Bible, right? We'll close with these two scriptures here in your notes. Joshua, this is again Joshua. Joshua is a type of Jesus. Jesus is going to judge the sin. So it's a good time then to depart from sin. See, knowing Jesus, let me just say this, okay? Knowing Jesus doesn't mean now I can sin more because I got my Jesus Visa card. It's on him. Oh, no, that's a lie. That's a trick from the devil. Somebody say, don't fall for the devil's tricks. Stick with the truth. Depart from sin. Let all who name the name of Christ, the scripture says, depart. Somebody say, depart. From iniquity. I'm preaching to me too. This is a daily decision, right? Hallelujah. And it doesn't just mean so you won't go to hell anymore. Once you get saved and give your life to Jesus, you are eternally sealed. There's people out there that in the natural may not ever give their life completely as Lord, but they've received him as Savior. And they may die in an overdose or in some crazy accident or some bad thing happened and they'll go to heaven, but they didn't have to have it that way. And it really comes down, the thing that really convicts me is it's all about who do you love. The Lord's told me before, you know, Steve, it's not about that thing that you want to, that you're feeling pressure to do right now. It's about the devil is after our fellowship. Oh, I just can't allow that. That's too expensive. Way too expensive. And so Joshua here, again, a type of Christ in chapter 24, he says, now therefore, somebody say, now therefore. When's it a good time to tell somebody? Somebody say, now. When's a good time to turn to Jesus? Sometimes we just need to be good at telling ourselves, right? If we tell ourselves, then other people will hear it too, and the devil included. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. Somebody say other side of the river. So all you who came here from Oregon. No, just kidding. Joking. That's a joke. That's a joke, right? Washingtonians, amen, amen. <Let's get it. laughs> Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, this is what you want to say over your family. Every day, I confess this every day in my prayer when I'm praying and drawing the bloodline around the Liven Goods, around the Sneers, and maiden names Beans and Jacksons. And you, business relationships that I have, ministries that we partner with, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's like, whatever you decide to do, that's on you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then finally, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. This is right after Jesus, we read this scripture last week, but after he had gotten this guy delivered that was full of demonic oppression and spirits and habits and addictions, and he got free from it all. Somebody say Jesus can free them from it all. And the man just comes and throws himself down and says, Jesus, I just want to go with you. And Jesus tells him this. He says, go home to your friends and tell them. How many know this guy had a testimony? Go home to your friends and your family and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. I'll tell you what, they can argue with this until they're blue in the face, but they can't argue with your testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand up. I know I'm kind of yelling and hollering, but praise God. You know, these are exciting things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord for his word today. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Just say, Heavenly Father, I commit my life to serve you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the blood that he shed 7 times for my liberty in every area of my life and for my family's liberty, for my children, my grandchildren, my parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews. In the name of Jesus, we strike the blood over our households and we say, Satan, leave, go. And over all of our family, we claim their souls. We claim their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, we praise you, we praise you in advance. And somebody to say, Lord, I commit myself to love Jesus, to follow him with all my heart, to serve him all my days, and always be ready to tell someone what you've done for me. The good things you've done for me, how you've had compassion on me. And I'll always be ready to tell them, Lord, and be sensitive to your spirit as when and to who. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.